Good. I have the microphone.
You have one of them. Yeah, it's not everybody I'd say that. Not everybody I'd say that to, my sister, but never mind, there we go.
No, you're wise.
Father, thank you for Sally. Thank you for the time that she set aside for you. And Lord, we thank you for this word that you're going to bring through her to us this morning. So open our hearts, Lord, open our ears. And Holy Spirit, we pray that every word that Sally speaks this morning will be anointed by you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
I don't want to start speaking yet, actually, because, you know, when we were singing about Shekinah glory come, as much as I'm brilliant at speaking, what we really want is God's glory, don't we? We want his spirit. So I would rather that we just kind of wait and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and... because I'm hungry for him. I want more of God's spirit in my life, because that's what's going to change me. I cannot change myself. I can do my hair differently. I could wear different clothes. I could do things to change my appearance, but my very heart, I can't change. Only God, only Jesus, only Holy Spirit can do that. So if you're with me, I want us... Do you mind if I say, let's just stand? You don't have to, but I just want God to know that I'm serious. So I'm going to stand, and it's like, I'm just going to pray, and then, let, you know, just do whatever you feel you want to do. If you want to pray out loud as well, pray out loud. If you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you want to sit down again, sit down again. But let's just wait for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you come, as we've already asked, but we're giving you time to come and touch each one of us, that your Shekinah glory would fill this place, that our faces will be radiant with the presence of God, that as we leave this place, it's like people are going to go, whoa, what happened to you? Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Father, the disciples were in the upper room praying for the Holy Spirit. They prayed for many days. Father, we're impatient. We want you now. We look at them as when they came out having been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What did we hear? Who are these ignorant fishermen? Why is it we hear them speak in our tongue? What has done to this? And I echo Sally's prayer that when we leave this place, we will be different people. We will be changed from glory to glory. We can't do it on our own. We are useless on our own, but with the power of the Spirit we can do all things. All things through Christ that strengthens us. So Father, have your way with your people this morning. Have your way with me, whether it hurts or whether it's encouraging. Have your way and let thy will be done in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As I come here.
Amen. Amen. don't often sit or stand quietly, do we? Because our lives are so busy and so hectic. But I am privileged to spend quite a lot of time sitting still. Kind of forced upon me, but it's a great, I guess, opportunities arise in our lives and we have choices. We either kick and scream and go, no, this is not right, or else we say, I believe that God, you're in control of all things, so where I am is where I'm meant to be, and although I wouldn't choose this for myself, it's where I'm meant to be. So I've spent, over the last year and a bit, a lot of time waiting. And one of the things that I have come to understand is why does God want us, his church, to be healed up? Is it just for my benefit? Well, clearly it will be beneficial to me. But why does he want his church healed? Because we represent him to the people out there. And I feel that for many, many years, maybe the last 10, 15 years, we had a big focus on who I am in Christ. What is my identity? What authority do I have? It's all about my heart being healed up, my relationship with Jesus, my intimacy with the Father, which has been absolutely fantastic. Haven't we enjoyed getting to know Father God in that intimate way that I never thought was available when I was growing up in the church? To actually feel the Father, when you've been brought up to believe that feelings are of the devil. You just know. Why do you know? Because the Bible tells you so. Hasn't it been wonderful to experience Father just loving on his children? Sometimes I've even felt God kiss my face and stroke my hair. Perhaps men, you have a slap on the back, I don't know. But you see, I think there's a shift and it's changing, because we live in a society that's all about me, myself. Everything's focused on me. And I think if we're not careful, we can do that in the church. It's all about me. And there's a shift coming, and it's about us as the corporate body of Christ. And we know it. We know that we're all parts of the same body. We know that if the body gets a hammer dropped on its toe, the whole body feels it, doesn't it? Does in my body. So this morning we're talking about healing hurt hearts. Why am I talking about this? Because it's important as a body that we get our hearts healed. Why? Because when people come in, they want to see a difference in us. Otherwise, they might as well go and join the football club, the WI meeting, the mother and toddler group down the road. Because they also have nice people who do nice things, who serve nice coffee and biscuits. So what sets us apart is that we are a healed up body. We function as a body. We honour one another as a body. And we carry the presence of God. And if I have a wounded heart, that will affect all of you in this room. We say these things, but I don't think we believe them. When one of us is hurting, we all hurt. So that's why I want us to become a people who are being healed by the presence of Jesus. Because the fact is, I don't actually believe that I will be 100% healed until I see Jesus face to face. I'm in a process. But let me tell you, every time Holy Spirit shows me some area in my life that is still not healed up, heal me up, Holy Spirit. So I am changing from one degree of glory to the next. because I want to be a healed up person. Why? Because it's going to affect all of us in this room, and it's going to affect all of them out there. All right? Okay, today we're going to do something very different. I have got a PowerPoint presentation for you. Could I have a little bit more, please? Because this is a big deal. This is a big deal. So, I've almost forgot that we should have the first slide up, please. That's me, in case anybody doesn't know who I am, Sally Merker. Okay, I think we can go to the next slide now, please. I haven't got quite far enough to use a clicker, all right? That's what we're going to be talking about. And next slide, please. Right, so it's important that we have some scripture. Did I write it down in my notes? I think I might have done. So, why is it important that our hearts are healed up? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." The prophet Isaiah, he prophesied about a man who would come who would heal the brokenhearted. And then Jesus stood up in the synagogue in the Gospel of Luke, and he said, "I have come. I am the person that was referred to in that prophecy. I have come to heal up the brokenhearted." The psalmist wrote, yes, is it there? Oh yeah, it's in a bit of a strange order to what I've got it, sorry. The psalmist wrote, "He heals the brokenhearted." Again, referring to God. And then finally, one of my favourite passages, and if you know me, you know that I say this all the time. It was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. It was for freedom. And that's why we want our hearts healed up as well. Not to make us feel better, but it's so that we have more freedom to be the people who God has called us to be. Amen? Okay. Next slide, please. It's a bit like having a corset on, but sometimes it's good, isn't it? You look better sometimes in a corset. So, why do we hurt each other with words and actions? We speak from a place which has been wounded by others and past experiences. And the thing is, we all do it. I don't believe that anybody in the room wakes up and says, you know what, today I'm going to really try hard to upset somebody by what I say or what I do. I don't think anybody in the room does that. But we find ourselves in a place where suddenly we're just reacting. And afterwards it's like, oh. Have you ever been in the room when there's a group discussion going on and suddenly it's like everything inside you is like, I'm about to explode. And then you look around and everybody else is going, And they're all, you know, no one else is feeling what you're feeling. Right. We get triggered by certain words or situations and it causes a reaction in us. Or sometimes it's just sin, all right? There are times where it's just sin. Whenever I react to anything, I always will leave, if I can, or do it in the room if I need to. Holy Spirit, why? Why have I reacted to that? What is there going on in my life that causes me to react to something like that? And usually it's because something has happened in my life that's hurt me. And it's like when that situation arises, when that word is spoken, when something is said, it's like that hurt suddenly comes to the surface and I'm reminded of it. And when we get healed hearts, it's not that we forget stuff that's happened, but there's no pain attached to it. So, I'm going to give you an illustration of where God has healed my heart big time. Many of you know that I worked in television for 25 plus years, and in that time I travelled all around the world to the places where there were either wars or natural disasters. And so I spent my time working with, I would say, the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. So I witnessed many horrendous things where people have been tortured or blown apart by bombs and things like that, or were dying through lack of food. And I saw all of this, and I didn't really know what to do, so I didn't do anything. I buried it. And the thing is about when we bury things is that they're always alive. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to bury them. But the problem is, when you bury things, at some point, they're going to come to the surface. And it's always in an inappropriate time and in an inappropriate way. Have you noticed that? Certainly my experience. So what did all of that stuff, how did that affect me? Well, one of the things was, I look back and I just think, my poor family, you know, they must have trodden on eggshells around me at times, because it didn't really matter what you talked about, it's like it caused reactions in me. So, for example, if anybody moaned about their life, their lot in life, something inside me was like, do you not realise what the rest of the world is going through? Do you not realise what I have witnessed? I have witnessed people are eating grass because they don't have any food, and you're worried about what you're going to eat? But the thing is, when your heart hasn't been healed up, it's not very easy to change that thing. Do you know what I mean? So what else came to me? Yes, the NHS. If I hear anybody moaning about our National Health Service or any of our medical professions, that used to cause me to go, have you all no idea that most of the world don't have any access to any kind of nursing facilities, medical facilities? People are dying from the most simplest of things. We, as soon as we get a pain in our body, we're down the doctors, we're asking for pills, we've got ointments, we've got all of this stuff. Food. It really upset me when people put loads of food on their plate and then they leave it. Oh, it made me mad. Really mad. And the thing is, I can laugh about it now, because I really have been healed up about it, all right? I'll come on to that in a bit. But I really have been changed by Jesus. But I've lost my train of thought. Holy Spirit, what? What I've just said, you perhaps can't identify with, all right? So let me give you some more illustrations. I believe that there are men in this church. Because it's very easy to think, oh, this is a women's issue. Women are very emotional. They get hurt hearts. Us men, we're tough. Doesn't happen to us. But I believe there are men in this room who have been overlooked for promotion in their places of work, and that hurts. I believe that there are men in the room who have spoken the truth, but no one believed you. I believe that there are also men in the room who your children have said quite harsh things to you about the fact that you never listened, that you didn't understand them, and that has hurt you. So please don't ever think this is just a women's issue. This is an issue that affects us all, okay? Right. Oh, I find it very hard having notes and things up on the thing. So, right. Okay, so going back to me, so what did I do? Well, what I would do is that I would put up with it. You know how you do, you hold yourself together, don't you? Bury it quick, put some more mud on it, press it down, But every so often, it's like a pressure cooker where it would go to let the steam out. So if you were one of the unfortunate people that happened to be around when that happened to me, I would just get up and I would run out of the room and I would run around the streets for hours until I got myself calmed down again. The problem is, because I didn't know how to ask Jesus to heal up my heart, all I did was talk it through with Jesus, but I didn't actually deal with it. And that's slightly different. You see, that's what the medical profession can offer us. They'll let you talk about it and talk about it, and then they'll give you ways to how to cope with it or how you can identify it and prevent, you know, the steam going psh. But they can't actually heal you. And so for years, I would go around with all this stuff inside me until one day you'd say to me, "Hello, Sally." And it's like, psh. And it's like, what did I say? What did I do? It was just, I'd reached the end of my tether, I think is the word, and the pressure cooker went, psh, and I'd just take off and run. It wasn't every week, but it would happen a few times. And for me, do I need to tell you this bit? Well, yes, I will. For me, it got so bad that I pushed it down so much that there wasn't any room left and it was up to here. And there wasn't any, I couldn't bury anything else because I'd already compacted it with one of those pressing machines that kind of takes this and reduces it to that. I'd already done all of that. And I just didn't know what to do. So I ended up at the doctor's and said, physically I'm fine, but mentally I'm a little bit shot to pieces. So I went through a whole process of counselling. But my counselling kind of went did a little bit more than perhaps you would normally do on the NHS, because my counsellor, who I was given from the NHS, gave me homework. And she asked me to talk to God about the things that had happened to me and to deal with it with God, not just with her. Does that make sense? So in those days, we owned the little bridge, the little hut over there. And we had a prayer room, and I would go and book an hour in the prayer room and lock the door and kneel before the cross, and it's like, Holy Spirit, what country are we going to do today? See, everything inside me wanted to do everything all at once. Like, I just wanted to go in and just say, heal me up of everything that I've ever seen, everything that I've ever done, and I forgive everybody that I've ever seen and ever done, and blah, 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 amen. But you see, that's not how it works. And actually, my physical body probably wouldn't have coped with all of that, right? So I did a country at a time. And it was amazing, as I sat in the presence of God, stuff would come back to me. And whereas normally it's like I would immediately close it down and put it away, it's like I dealt with it. And I wrote it on a piece of paper, just stuff that came to me. And at about the hour mark, even though I wasn't clock watching, but about the hour mark, I felt like everything was down on that piece of paper. So I ripped it up in front of the cross and I stuck it in the waste bin. And even though I didn't expect anything, I can't tell you the burden that rolled off my shoulders. And when I got home, I just slept because I was absolutely exhausted. And that is how I dealt with the stuff. And it took probably 18 months. So that was quite an extreme, I suppose, really, because not many of you go to war zones. And not many of you are working with people who have been shot to pieces or tortured. All right. Number five, my slide. So, how do we get healed up so we don't react? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the only one that can actually do this. He really is the only one who can do it. And why can he do it? Because he took all our pain and he nailed it to the cross. It went with him. If he's already paid for the pain that we feel, why do we carry it around with us? One of my scriptures that I use a lot and I haven't written it up there because I thought about it after I'd done my slides. The psalmist says in the Psalm 139, which I'm sure you're all very... Oh, did I put it up there? Oh! See, I'm more organised than sometimes I give myself credence for. I did send my slides on the Monday, but then I revamped them on the Wednesday. So, this I speak this psalm over me, myself, a lot. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. It's one of my constant prayers. It's like, search me, God. Search me. See if there is any offensive way in me. And that what that's actually saying is any hurts, any woundedness in my heart, show me. Sometimes he does there and then, but often he doesn't. But then as the week unfolds, it's like situations come back into my life. And it's like, oh yes. Oh yes, I completely forgot about that. Yeah? I'm talking to people here who understand what I'm talking about, aren't I? Because let's face it, we've all been hurt. There isn't a single person here that hasn't been hurt or wounded. Most of the time, it's not deliberate. Sometimes it is deliberate. But it doesn't really matter how you got hurt. The point is that Jesus can heal us up. Right, not, I mustn't go on to my next slide yet until I've done something else. What else have I got to do? Oh, yes. The enemy will tell you that you are helpless and hopeless. No Christian is ever helpless or hopeless. No situation for a Christian is ever helpless or hopeless. Otherwise, we might as well give up and go home, because it means that God is a liar. And clearly he isn't a liar, is he? What he says stands for eternity. So, I wanted to say, actually, if anybody has a testimony in this house today of where Jesus has healed you, then if you'd like to come and share it, please feel free. All right? And I'm now going to tell you a story so that then you've got time if you want to just say, Holy Spirit, do you want me to share anything? All right? So, Holy Spirit, if anybody here needs to share something to encourage the body, so it's not just me saying it, then just lay it on their heart right now. Amen. So, one of the greatest things that I have seen where God has healed up hearts, 99.999% of the time it's to do with forgiveness. And I know we've spoken a lot about forgiveness, but it always comes back to forgiveness. Because the way we get our hearts healed is that we forgive the person, the people, who perpetrated that in the first place. All right? And I've many, many people say to me, I can't do that. Well, you have to. I'm sorry, that's just what the Bible says. If we want to be forgiven, which I do, then I need to extend that forgiveness to other people. Because it's not about me letting them off the hook, it's about God letting me off the hook. Yeah? I know we've all heard this before. So, and this stuff works, all right? It really works. So, I'm in Rwanda. I'm doing a program about the genocide. 1 million people died in 100 days. 1 million people died in 100 days. They were massacred in the most horrific way. Right? So, I was doing a program about the genocide and what was going on now, what God was doing in the nation now. And the project I filmed was... They had songwriters that came from all over Rwanda to this conference where they were going to write songs about what happened in the genocide and how God has intervened, right? But in order to write those songs, you've got to have your heart healed. Yeah? So there came a moment when everybody was encouraged to take a piece of paper and to write down on the piece of paper what happened during that period of genocide, what they saw and how it affected them, and they wrote it down. I tell you, it was really hard to be in that room because the room was probably about this size and there were just people weeping all over the place as they wrote down on this piece of paper what they had witnessed. Some of them had witnessed their wives being raped and murdered in front of their eyes. Some of them had witnessed their children being burnt alive. Some really horrendous stuff. That night, when we came into the service, everybody was invited to bring their bit of paper with them. And during the praise and worship time, a wooden cross was laid on the floor at the front. And everybody was encouraged to come with a piece of paper, and a hammer and nails were there, and they would put their piece of paper, nail it to the cross. Yeah? Very, very moving, as you can probably imagine. As we were worshipping Jesus, people came forward and nailed this stuff onto the cross. And then, this is the best bit, we took the cross outside and the whole lot was set on fire. I cannot tell you the celebration that took place. It was incredible. It went on all night. In the morning, people were still praising God and worshipping because they were completely set free from the pain that was in their heart. Did they remember what happened? Yes, they did. But there wasn't any pain connected with it. The result of that, bearing in mind it's not just about us, it's about the whole body, is that they then did all their songwriting, and then on the Sunday they booked the Amahora Stadium, which is where they rounded up people before they were massacred. So they took the Amahora Stadium, all of Dignitary were invited, there were many MPs, President, everybody turned up. There were thousands of people that came to that stadium on that Sunday afternoon. And from that place of being healed up, they were able to share through their song and testimony what God had done for them. I was there. It was incredible. Don't tell me that we can do that ourselves. Don't tell me that you could witness some horrendous thing and just say, oh, well, never mind, I'll just go and get another husband, I'll just go and have some more children. No. Jesus can heal the most wounded and most painful heart and situations. He can do it. He can do it. Oh.
Praise the Lord, Sally, for all those incredible things he's healed you with now. The thing that the Holy Spirit reminded me of, some of you will have heard before, so I apologise if you've heard this before, but he does simple things you know, we can be really aggrieved by something which somebody else might think, she's making a fuss about. So many years ago, when Mary had two little boys, and she had Mary Price, my lovely friend here, I thought, she's got such a lot to try and get to grips with in her house and everything. So I introduced her to my ironing lady. So for many years, Eileen used to come to my house and do my ironing, and then she'd go to Mary's house and do her ironing, and that was great. And then one day, she said, Anne, I don't think I can do your ironing anymore. And I thought, oh, she won't be able to do Mary's either. But she did. Do you know, I was absolutely incensed. I cannot tell you how angry and how upset I felt. I could not bear to be in the same room as the woman. And we used to go to Oasis at that time. And I thought, I won't go in if she's there. Well, if she's there, I won't look at her. Well, you can imagine the effect. If we said the hammer drops on the toe and the body hurts, and if one person hurts. So imagine one angry, seething person sitting in your prayer group. And you, I can remember the one day I went up St Bernard's Road and Mary pulled out of her drive before me with Eileen in the seat. I was so, so angry. I could not forgive. I was so, and you know, it was eating me up and it must have impacted every relationship I had because I was so, so chewed up with all of this. And I knew it wasn't right, Sally. I knew that this was having a big impact on me and everybody else around me. So I'd still get out my Bible and still read with anger in me and unforgiveness and jealousy and everything else. And then this one day, I read this little bit and it said, all this newness of the life is from God, who brought us back from himself for what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Am I able to do that at the moment? No. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message that he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. Well, I would have got the sack if I was a paid ambassador, because I wasn't a good ambassador at all. And I just knew I had to let go. I had to choose to forgive. And when I actually got to that place and let that piece of scripture fit in there in me, it said, we urge you, as though Christ himself were pleading with you, be reconciled to God.
Amen.
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 So I forgave her, and I was okay after that.
Amen.
Church, I'm praying that God will help me put these thoughts in the right order, and that you'll get the impact of what I have to share. So I'm mindful. I want to talk briefly about the power of forgiveness. I want to talk about healed hearts, muscles, and scars. I know it's kind of out there. But forgiveness, I want to say, it's like a spiritual muscle. The more you do it, the more God equips you to do it, and the easier it gets. It doesn't have to start with the very big things. It can start with the little things. But the more you do, more you practice forgiveness and ask the Holy Spirit to equip you for forgiveness, the more he will give abundantly, extravagantly, in order to give you freedom and to give you life in abundance. Now, sometimes I feel like I've had enough forgiveness in my life. I don't really want any more. But then I remember it's a spiritual muscle, and I ask God to equip me more fully. I have the privilege of mothering three young girls who often, well, they're not so young now, one's 21, but who often would ask very deep and penetrating questions. Now, my 21-year-old now, struggling with the relationship with the Lord, asked me when she was 9, Mom, when Jesus heals our hearts completely, do we still have scars? Is it like a completely new heart, or does our heart have the scars? Do we carry them? That led into a very deep discussion. But, church, I have to say, I think the scars are there. Our risen Lord rose with the scars of his work on the cross. But what I've come to know is, I have a scar here on my arm and one on my neck. Doesn't hurt me. Doesn't limit me. But it's there, and it's there for people to see. And sometimes it sparks conversation. I have forgiven. I was terribly hurt as a child in an awful situation. And I forgave that, the person who hurt me. And I'm amazed that years later I was able to minister to people, because I spoke from a place of healing and I spoke of a place of experiential authority and experiential healing authority. I forgave people, which I spoke about at Love, Acceptance, and Healing, who really all out went for our family. Again, I had to really struggle with that. But then the Lord turned that into such a glorious situation for his glory. I'm walking through something now, and I'm not totally there. But for so long, I have prayed for the people I need to forgive. And it is the deepest hurt I have ever, ever felt. It is the deepest wound. But I pray for them. And I couldn't pray that I would forgive them. But do you know what I pray for them? I pray for their salvation. I pray for their healing, because it will be to my good and to their good and to the glory of God. And I cannot accept and proclaim God's healing without also praying for the salvation of the people I need to forgive. Have I completely forgiven them yet? No, God's at work in me. And there's a process, both legally and spiritually, that I'm going to have to go through to do that. But God's going to equip me. And I want to tell you, I have forgiven things in my life I didn't think I would ever face. I've forgiven deep things in my life I didn't think would be forgivable. And it's made forgiving the littler things so much easier. And forgiving all those little things enable me to keep pursuing life and forgiveness and the salvation of others on the bigger things. And I don't know who said this, but I can remember hearing this at a time I was walking through something. A friend once said to me, you know, holding on to unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Actually, you will have great liberation when you have forgiveness, big or small.
Thank you. Thank you. You're right.
Hi. This is quite a difficult one, but I'm going to say it anyway. Those of you who know me know that at the end of 2002, my husband left me. I didn't know it at the time, but it was for another woman. And obviously that caused a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And I've declared this, but through that I found God, or rather God found me. And he has worked tremendously in my life. And again, those who know me in my house group have seen the change in me. And it's really what you were talking about forgiveness. God, like, I found it so difficult to forgive. It's taken years to get to the place. But God, back in 2015, my eldest daughter had twin girls. Sadly, she had postnatal psychosis and was hospitalised twice as a result. She was sectioned the second time. And as you can imagine, it was very painful. But going back to 2002, I had declared when I found out that my husband had left me for somebody else that I would never ever meet this woman, that I would never be in the same room with her. I had made that declaration, and boy did I stick to it, so much so that when my daughter had finished uni and she was in a shared house with girls and I found out that that woman had been there, I would not go and visit my daughter and go into that house, because that woman had been in that house. But when my daughter was ill after she had the twins, God said to me, look, this isn't about you. This is about Lisa, and you have to do whatever you have to do. And one day I got a text from Lisa. It was when she was ill. It was a very bizarre text, but the upshot was that she wanted me to go over to their house in Coventry. And she said in the text that her father was going to be there, and that woman, who has a name, Jill, was going to be there, and I needed to go. And knowing that and praying, I went and I met Jill, that woman. And I did that because God told me to. I won't say at that point I'd definitely forgiven my husband and her, but God said, this isn't about you, this is about me. Lisa, by the way, is a Christian, so obviously he knew what he was doing. So that happened back in late 2015, early 2016. Lisa, thank the Lord, is well now. And she had the twins dedicated in the August, I think, 2016. And their church is a Baptist church in the centre of Coventry. And I went to the service. My ex-husband and his now wife were there. And Lisa's in-laws were there. And Joan, Lisa's mother-in-law, said, "Oh, I want a photograph of us, the two grandmothers, with the girls." It didn't happen after the end of service for whatever reason. We went back to the house and this photograph was taken. And as Joan went to walk away, God, I know it was God, said to me, "You need to do something here. You need..." Well, I can't remember what he said, but the upshot was that as she walked away, I said, "Joan, no, come back. We need to have another photograph taken." And I called Jill and I said, "Jill, you need to come and be in this photograph."
Great.
So that was God and that was forgiveness.
Brilliant, thank you. I've actually run out of time. Okay, Rachel, next time. Let me just, I just need to finish. Do you mind, Rachel? Can I have the last, I think there's one more slide. Yeah. These are my coffee questions for you to use at home group. Okay, I'm just going to leave them there. They'll be on the website. But just to wrap this up, all right? God can heal any broken heart. God can heal any hurt that you have in your heart, any pain, whether it's from something very simple or something very, very, very serious. And the key has always been we need to forgive. So I want to give you a tool, all right? So because we've run out of time, ask the Holy Spirit, "Where am I hurting?" If you don't know, or where to start. And when he brings that memory back to mind, there will always be people or a person that you need to forgive. Choose to forgive them. Don't ask Jesus to help you to forgive, because he's already equipped you with everything that you need. He's already paid the price. There's nothing more he can do. This is an act of your will. I choose to forgive. Having chosen to forgive, then ask Father to come and just heal that wound in your life. And it really is as simple as that. And sometimes it can happen just like that. And sometimes, as has already been said, sometimes it's a process. Because actually, sometimes it's not just one thing. So we forgive them for one thing. Oh, actually, there's another thing. Oh, actually, there's another thing. Actually, there's another thing. Amen. So, Rachel, I feel I need to give you this opportunity, love. Come on. Because it's brave of you to come out, so I'm sorry that I sent you back.
I'll just never forgive you again.
No.
I'm joking.
I'll just hit you here.
No. I was just going to very quickly say that, as a lot of people have had, I've had a lot of stuff go on in my life, a lot of illness, divorce, without going into everything. And I'm quite an outgoing person, as most of you know, but inside I've been a very angry and bitter person. And it's had a knock-on effect with relationships here. Sally's had to put up with a lot over the last 5 years. But I recently really feel like I have forgiven various people that have hurt me in my life, and I just feel, although my situation is still the same, I feel just like a different person. And I'd like to just apologise to anybody that I've lashed out at here in the church. Thank you.
Thank you. So just to finish with... Okay. Just to finish, this is not just about us as individuals. I want to finish where I started. Yes, it's great that Rachel is having her heart healed up, but the knock-on effect is it's going to affect us all. If we are bitter and if we are lashing out at people, even though we don't mean to, and people know that we don't mean to, it will have a detrimental effect upon the body of Christ, and it will affect our witness. Really? Yeah, I believe that. I really believe that. So that's why it's important that we, as a body, get our hearts healed up. And if you need any help in that, then please come and ask me. Sign up for the seminar where we'll go into a lot more detail. Please sign up. If you don't sign up, if there aren't enough people, I will cancel it. So don't just suddenly go, oh, I was just going to turn up on the day. No, don't do that. Please, if you want to come, please put your name down. And the same for Andrea as well. Because although we love being here at the Bridge, we do actually have other things that we could do on a Saturday. All right? So please, if you want to come, then please come. But please put your name down. David.
With your permission.
You have it.
Thank you. I feel that we, obviously, Sally's made a really valid point that we need to go on forgiving. We need to go on until it's completely released from us. But right now, I believe, to conclude, I'd like us to respond in a personal way, if you would like to. I've got this flag, and I'm going to declare the cleansing of God over each of you. This is cleansing from unforgiveness. It's cleansing from those hurts. It's healing from those hurts. But this represents the cleansing that Jesus can provide. So if you'd like to either raise a hand or stand or something like that, I'm going to go right the way round us and declare in Jesus' name that cleansing as you give forgiveness right now. So pause for a moment and then you can respond.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Sally, David, thank you. Well, what a morning. And children, it's good that you've come back in. So may you be blessed as you go out into this week. And may the Lord Jesus Christ shine forth from every single one of us with everybody we meet. Bless you as you go. Teas and coffees. And... for those of you who are staying, there'll be the picnic on the terrace at the back. Bless you as you go.